said that the whole of the teaching of the law and the prophets was based on these. And actually, all the teaching emerged from understanding and practicing love for God and love for neighbour. So, pretty important. This teaching was the matrix, if you like, the womb that gave birth to all the Jewish teachings of how to live life. It always boiled down to those two things. What does it mean to love God with everything we've got? And a similar command, with everything we've got, what does it mean to love our neighbour? So as we think just very briefly about those two before moving on to Jesus' need to add a third command, we see that love for God is to engage the whole of our being. Every part of us is to enter into this. It's not just a matter of our mind. It's something that involves our heart, our soul, and our mind. And our soul is our whole personality, our being, our thinking, our psyche, as it were. So love for God is to involve all of those things. And like the first one, the command to love neighbour is something that is to engage the whole of our being. It's not just an add-on, sort of a bit of an appendage to things. It's to engage, it says, like the first, love for neighbour is to engage the whole of our being. And we are to love neighbour as we love ourselves. Now, Chris has got a bit of a thing about this, so if you want to actually say, why do we need to love neighbour as we love ourselves, you can always ask Chris afterwards. It might be quite interesting. But this was one of the things that she said. To love neighbour, we have to really love ourselves, because that's what Jesus said. That is what loving neighbour actually means. We are to love neighbours as we love ourselves. That is, with a concern for our neighbour's heart, mind and soul, as we are concerned about our whole being, our heart, mind and soul. So we're not just concerned about people's physical well-being, but we're concerned about their mental health. We're concerned about their spiritual health. And we should be concerned about our physical and mental and spiritual health. And actually, unless we are at ease with ourselves and love ourselves and see ourselves as whole beings in God, we will find it very difficult to love our neighbour. But if we say that we're together as people and we regard ourselves as mature and together people, we should love others in the same way as we love ourselves. And we do actually lavish care upon ourselves, some of us perhaps more than others. So, if you're concerned about your own welfare, we must also be concerned about people as whole beings, about other people. And Jesus, in his teaching, emphasized to the Jews that this is love for every person in need and not just those from our own tribe and nation. So in Luke's gospel, Jesus actually went on to speak the parable of the Good Samaritan, which showed the fact that our neighbour is whoever is in need, and to fulfil the law, to do what is good, is to act like the Samaritan did, not just concerned about people like him. And so the situation that Helen has highlighted is one that we tussle with and we struggle with. And it is not just going to be a solution that new tent cities are created in Morocco, North Africa or whatever. This is a problem not just for Europe. This is a world issue. And everything within us naturally wants to build a wall. Just the same as other solutions, which are not long-term solutions, whether they're built in Berlin or Palestine. But everything within us wants to do that. Okay, then the key issue. So the second slide, if we could add this. Why did Jesus add what he called a new commandment to his disciples? The lists of things to do and to be. Why did he add another commandment? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I've been struggling with this week. Why did Jesus feel the need? Surely everything was said in the two commandments. Why did he then, to a particular group of people, that was to his disciples, those who were followers, actually not just feel the need, but have to add this commandment? We read that at the Last Supper, after the incident of his amazing washing of their feet, and just before the betrayal and crucifixion, Jesus declared to the 12 disciples, "You cannot go where I am going." He made it absolutely plain that only he, no other human being, could do what he was doing upon the cross. And then actually going into the experience of what is called prison by Peter or hell and preaching to those who are already dead. That message about only he could do this and only he could rise from the dead. He says, "You cannot go where I'm going. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another." So he states it once. And then he says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you love one another, then everyone will know you're my disciples." And I've been thinking through this week for various reasons, for emails I've read, for things that have happened and other things, that it was right to talk about this commandment. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And all the way through, I then kept doubting. And just as I was going into the shower this morning, I thought, I'll just switch the radio on, my little tranny, and just listen maybe to the service that's happening. As I switched the radio on, they're from Corrymeela community in Ireland. Jesus said, "Love one another." I thought, okay. Listen for 2 minutes, turn the radio off, had a shower. I thought, okay. Right, I'd like you to work with a couple of people. Perhaps three or four if you have to, two if you're happier with that. And just think about this question. Why did Jesus add what he called a new commandment to his disciples? Now, if you don't want to work with somebody else, just sit on your own and you can think. But let's just gather in small groups and just, well, then we'll get a bit of feedback from anybody that wants to give it. Why did he feel the need? Why was it necessary to add this commandment? Now, I've had a whole week thinking about this question, so you've just got about 4 or 5 minutes. So, okay. If you've not met somebody before, say hi to them. If you haven't got anything to say, then listen.
So we've got two different categories. Love your neighbour as you love yourself, and love each other as I have loved you. And so we thought it was strange that there was this contrast, but then we thought, actually, Jesus is saying something particular about how you are within a church or a fellowship, and it's a very difficult thing to do. You try and love each other as God loves us, as Jesus loves us.
Thank you.
Our kind of consensus was the first one says you love the Lord your God with all your strength and all your might, and I don't know if I got that right. And then the second one says love your neighbour as you love yourself. Then the third one says love Jesus, love your neighbour as Jesus loves you. So what we're thinking is that the greatest love of all is Jesus' love. And if we love with our own strength and might, it's not enough. We have to love to the degree which Jesus loves.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's about what Jesus was saying is having a relationship and knowing who God is, and we get to know who God is through Jesus. So I think if he shows us pure love, then that's our example. We should really be the same.
Brilliant.
What I was saying about it is not being so insular. It's not actually just saying the words, but it's actually living them, going out there and living them.
I thought it was just a summary of Ten Commandments, and the first part, which was love God with all your might, and the second one, love your neighbor as thyself, is just a summary of thou shalt not commit adultery, kill, and it was just to, you know, bring everything into the New Testament, the conclusion on the Old Testament.
Okay.
Yeah. Not become the old Ten Commandments wouldn't be complete without the second one.
Thank you.
It's possibly sort of already been touched on, but the only thing that I could see that was actually perhaps different is again how Jesus said you're to love as I have loved you, and this was said after washing their feet. So again, it's talking about being active in your love and serving, and also obviously Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross, so it's actually even more than that, that you would, this is the greatest love, that you would lay down your life for your friends. Was that everything?
But left out of it, and they needed to be reminded that love was at the heart of the Christian message and God's message.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. I think from my own understanding, I think this new commandment just to encapsulate the old Ten Commandments, and with this one, it will make it much more easier to comply with the previous Ten Commandments, because with this, I mean, if you don't love, I mean, one another, there's no way. I mean, you find it a bit difficult to comply with one or two. I mean, within that Ten Commandments, I think that's just my own understanding.
I just said that when I invite people to events and they come, what they always say to me, "Oh, you are really in a very nice community," because they can see that we love each other, we speak with each other, we know the names, and we are a mixture of different culture and countries. So
what struck me was the line at the bottom. If you love one another, then everyone will know you are my disciples. It's already been touched on, but it's demonstrating that love.
That Jesus gives is new. And it's given specifically to his followers. Now, the other commandments were also given to the people of God. That's very important. But he specifically gives this to those who are his disciples. And we use the term quite broadly, the people of God, but this is particularly to disciples, to his followers. It couldn't have been given before, because he hadn't come before. In that sense, it was new. But it was also because he actually demonstrated what love meant. He unpacked what love meant in a way, I believe, that had never been seen before. The faithfulness, the consistency of God's love had been seen. But actually the way that Jesus lived and died demonstrated the love of God. He demonstrated particularly at the Last Supper that their Lord and Master actually was also willing to be their servant and to sacrifice everything, his dignity, his ego, his position, his life. And he demonstrated that loving one another is practical and it's prayerful in so, so many ways. "As I have loved you" is the whole saying. And people say, "Love one another." He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And in the same way the other commands were actually spelt out, the way we're to love God with everything we have, and similarly to love neighbour with everything we have as we love ourselves, this is part of, it's not a caveat, it is actually the saying, we are to love one another as he loved us. Of course, I've put a picture of crucifixion there. The ultimate meaning of loving one another is to lay down our lives, to even be prepared to die for one another. And we need to think about what that means in daily living. And it is daily living that it gets very tough. And it is not an easy commandment. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us something of what it means, that it means kindness. It means not being rude. It means being reliable and consistent and patient. And it's where we're all aware that we fall down. We do not always love one another as Christ has loved us. But as a community, and that is what Jesus was concerned about, not just people individually following, as a community of faith, this was the sort of behaviour that is to be seen amongst us in all our gatherings, whether it's a barbecue, whether it's in worship, whether it's in one another's homes, whatever. Our treatment of one another, who claim to be followers of Jesus and are witnesses in a wider world, is highly significant, as you've pointed out. People are meant to be able to look at us and see something about our behaviour that is like Jesus. For me also, as I've been thinking about it this week, and perhaps we could have the third slide, it tells me that loving the world entails not just reaching out to other people, perhaps in what we would term evangelism. Not just that, but actually spending time in building the community of faith, in building the church locally and throughout the whole world. Jesus said, you'll remember, I will build my church. He also said that he was bringing in the kingdom of God. But building the church is important. And Jesus builds his church in many ways, including things like teaching and so on. But significantly, through the new commandment, is how the church is built, by people loving one another as Jesus has loved us. That is one of the key ways in which the church is built. And so you are all involved in what Jesus wants to do in building his church. As has been admitted, we need the strength of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, we claim, that's our claim to the world, to enable us to learn to love. And all of us have wrong and distorted views of love. All of us are discovering what love really means through the example of Jesus. Jesus has loved us. We are to love others in the same way. As the disciples showed at the Last Supper, however, there's a lot of resistance to doing this. They weren't offering to wash one another's feet. They were ready to accuse somebody else. It's not me that will betray you, it's someone else. So there was real resistance. We will squabble about, like the disciples did, who is the greatest, who is the least. And these sort of power struggles need to be dealt with in the church. And as we talk about that, we need to think about Jesus and how he loved. We are not always the first to offer to do the work. Jesus was, and so on. So loving one another is crucial. One reason has been come out in your comments from your groups in various ways. Jesus commanded that we love one another as he loved us, so that also we can storm the gates of hell. That's a strange expression. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Death and all the problems of humanity will not prevail. I will build my church. But it's not going to be easy with human beings, is it? People need faith in Jesus, but also to keep his commandments. If we have faith in Jesus, we love Jesus. I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're out there saying to people that Jesus loves them, and they will look at us, they will experience us as we engage with them. How do the people of God treat one another? Also, Jesus gave this new command, I believe, because he knows we need intimacy. He knows we need human friendship and love. He's made us to need that. Some of us would like to go it alone, but it is not good for us to go it alone. The emphasis of Jesus, I think, and Jim and others hinted at this, is actually away from the limitation of one small family, tribe, and nation. Jesus is talking to us about loving one another with a whole new global perspective. People from all the nations, other followers of Jesus. And I came from, you know, a relatively happy, enriching, good family. All of us want that for people. But that sort of concept of family, which is very nuclear, is very limited. And Jesus is here introducing something far bigger. He emphasizes a new family without walls. And if we read the incident where Jesus' family is trying to turn him back, you remember, because they think he's lost a screw and he's overzealous and whatever, we actually hear him declare that his family is made up of those that do the will of God. And people find these sayings quite tough and quite hard. And I've said before, Jesus does call us to care for family and whatever. But he gives us a new family as well that is made up of those who obey and do the will of God. And it is a shock when people actually read, I know there's Jewish hyperbole in it, but we read this: Jesus was still talking to the people when his mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside asking to speak with him. So one of the people there said to him, look, your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak with you. In other words, interrupt what you're doing because your mother's here. Jesus answered, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and he said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants him to do is my brother, my sister, and my mother." We know that Jesus cared for his mother. He made provision for his mother. I'm not knocking that. But we are part of a much bigger family when we come to follow Jesus, and we are told to love one another. We are told also in another part of Matthew's Gospel that sometimes even within families there are splits and divisions that are caused by people following Jesus. And that's quite hard to take. But our longing that all may come to know Jesus is very real. But you can read that passage in Matthew 10. So, the mindset of those who do not love God and do not love neighbour, going back to those first two vital commandments, tends to default. The human nature tends to say, charity begins at home, look after yourself and your own. That's what we tend to do. That's why it says in Galatians, remember to do good to all, especially those in the household of faith. And the 21st century emphasis, and for many people, is certainly on the individual and even just my family or my tribe. And yet we've seen on our screen that the whole world is being shaken. And Jesus came as Saviour of the world. And he calls his disciples to actually be different. The last slide. He brings a new command to those who follow him. Love one another as I have loved you. And he makes it plain that if we say we love him and mean it, that we will obey his commandments. Not just one or two or the third one. If you love me, in John 14 it says, you will obey my commandments. He says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me, and I too will love them and reveal myself to them. So those who love Jesus and are seeking to follow him should expect to know and understand more of the Lord Jesus. And that in itself will hopefully change us. We'll be challenged to keep on changing. Also in John's Gospel, because John loved talking about love, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. My commandment is this: love one another as I have loved you. So to conclude and keep thinking about this, why Jesus found it necessary to add a third commandment, and I think there was an element of truth, by the way, in absolutely everything you said. But he spelt out this commandment to his disciples, to the community of believers. And as you know, there's no such thing as a solitary Christian, or there shouldn't be. Loving the world, loving neighbour, people and planet springs from a love of God and of ourselves, according to the teaching of Scripture. And for those who follow Jesus, it also follows from disciples of Jesus, loving one another as he demonstrated. Not as we want it to be, but as he showed. We are the family of God, and it ain't easy. If we follow what God commands, we are the family of God. That's what Jesus said. It is from the church, I believe, our family, that we will receive either encouragement or discouragement. How we treat one another is of great significance. It will either help us and others in their walk with God, or it will discourage them. But the responsibility starts with me. I know it's mutual, but it says, love one another as I have loved you. It is from the church that we find brothers and sisters, fellow workers, to share with and witness to the world. And our witness to the world is crucial in this. Jesus said that the world would know that we are his disciples, his followers, if we love one another. So presumably, if we don't love one another, they will know something else. And love for one another is the hallmark of authentic discipleship. If we do not behave in love when we meet, then we are denying our claim to follow Jesus. But the scripture is plain that we endeavour, we work hard at it, as it says in Ephesians. And forgiveness and grace, that undeserved love, are essential in building the church. If we bear grudges, if we continue to repeat bad habits and other ways, it will discourage others. So when we invite people to become followers of Jesus, which hopefully we're trying to do, we're also inviting them to become brothers and sisters with us. So we're not just saying, sign on this dotted line and then I'm finished with you. We're saying, I'm prepared to be your brother or your sister. I'm prepared to work with you, to share with you, to pray with you, to listen to you, to be a part of the family who do the will of God. And that's a good measure of the church, isn't it? Is it doing the will of God? So today we remember not just that Jesus has given us an additional commandment, which no doubt we could all quote, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, but we stop to think about what that might mean. And I hope through this week we will. I hope we'll ask for the help of the Spirit to obey because we say we love Jesus. And it is in loving God, loving Jesus, loving one another, that we will be enabled to love our neighbour. Really love them. Let's just be still for a moment, shall we?